A divine reunion. We are all like rivers flowing back to the ocean, learning how to end our resistance to the deeply loving and healing forces of the universe, and thus be carried along on their warm currents towards union with our divine spiritual parent, the ocean of loving consciousness, which many call God. It has only ever been our stubborn and rebellious ego that has wanted to resist these benevolent energies, for the simple reason that it did not trust them to protect it from harm. The ego is simply a product of insecurity, which developed at some point in our childhood when we realized that our parents would not fully protect us from energies and experiences that we did not want to be subjected to. Perhaps they were even responsible for creating them, when they became angry with us, for example. And therefore we lost our essential sense of trust in our parents to be only a force of love and protection from such harsh energies. Thus, the child realized that it had to begin controlling its environment if it wanted to get exactly what it felt it needed, and to feel secure and safe from harm, as all living creatures deeply need to feel. Naturally, the child wanted to avoid unpleasant experiences, such as being subjected to anger, and to choose only pleasant experiences. Therefore, it needed to be able to judge all circumstances and choose only those which it felt would bring it the security and good feelings it wanted. This is the ego. The ego's sole agenda is to create a sense of security for us. And as we all know, it does this through control. It attempts to control our life circumstances, the things that happen to us, and the way people behave with us and treat us. It is simply afraid of pain and afraid of not getting its needs met on a very primal level. And this is the motivation behind all of its controlling behavior, fear. So seeing this, how can we be angry with our ego or critical of it? It is just like an insecure child that doesn't want to feel insecure anymore. Yet, because its choices are motivated by fear, it cannot help but create a fearful reality for us when we allow it to be in charge of our life. When we follow the will of the ego, which essentially means following your insecurity, we may feel like we are creating more security for ourselves and more safety. But what we are really doing is affirming that we are not safe and not provided for. If our personal world was free from any sense of threat or lack, the controlling force of the ego would be totally redundant. Yet it is the ego which is creating both, because reality simply mirrors our insecurity back to us, and we get what we are expecting to get. By listening to the guidance of the insecure ego, which is always fear-based guidance, we create a perception of the world in which threat is everywhere, especially in other people. We are simply viewing the world from the perspective of the ego, which means viewing it from a place of fear and insecurity. Therefore, we can only see things in one of two ways, threatening or non-threatening. The ego judges the whole of reality in this way, and through its judgment, it creates for us a divided world. The world is divided up into things which are desirable to the ego and the things which are undesirable. Yet the ego has made a fundamental mistake, which creates an entire reality of insecurity, inconsistency, and suffering for us. It has created good and bad. It has created a world of duality and division. Originally, this occurs in our mind, but we project it onto the material world and then respond to this divided world through the way we live, through what we choose and what we resist, and what we want and what we don't want. It is important to understand how resistance creates our suffering. Resistance is simply fear put into action. And when it is present in our mind and our body, we experience a reality of tension and contraction. In our mind, the universe shrinks as we see only that which is threatening to us and requiring our resistance. In our body, the cells and the muscles tighten and contract as they would if they were trying to defend themselves against something which threatened their well-being. Consequently, All positive and enjoyable feelings disappear from the body, and we experience the body as being more dense, lifeless, solid and inflexible, rather than being soft, supple, relaxed, joyful and open. So when we resist something, not only are we exercising and strengthening the presence of fear in our being, in our reality, but we are creating threat where there may well be none whatsoever. The ego simply does not trust that we are safe without our resistance, which it feels is the most valuable tool for avoiding suffering. How ironic this is, when it is the primary cause of our suffering. Understanding this inner process of resistance, we can also understand how to be free of it in a very practical way. When we relax our body, resistance totally disappears and our energy can flow naturally. Ease and harmony are restored to our body in a very tangible way. We feel relieved, we feel good inside. In our mind, when we withdraw our attention from thoughts of threat and danger, it is allowed to expand and perceive the spaciousness of reality, the light and the beauty which is inherent in the very fabric of consciousness. Thoughts no longer appear to be our total reality, but more just like clouds that occasionally pass across the sky. We have greater perspective. The ego is unable to perceive things from this perspective, though. In fact, it doesn't even realize what it is doing. It wants to avoid suffering, but instead it creates it through its division of reality into what is desirable and undesirable. Yet it has made this judgment of desirability from its own perspective, which is one of insecurity and fear. What is desirable for the ego is certainly not desirable for our heart, as we know only too well. The heart desires freedom. It desires spontaneity. It desires self-expression. It desires joy and happiness. But from the ego's perspective, even these are all laced with danger. Freedom and spontaneity may bring uncalculated errors. Self-expression is likely to bring judgment from others. Joy and happiness will inevitably bring us pain and disappointment when they vanish. This is how the fearful mentality of the ego denies the heart everything it really needs, and thus we suffer even more intensely. Loneliness, joylessness, predictability and frustration all result from ignoring the needs of the heart in favour of what the ego tells us is much safer. So the intelligent thing for us to do would be to simply stop listening to the ego, thus no longer being subjected to the fear-based reality it creates in our mind with its thought processes. The easiest and most practical way for us to do this is simply to leave the ego alone, to stop energizing its thoughts with our attention, and to bring our attention out of our mind and back into our body, back into our heart. We do this simply by relaxing our body and thus allowing more energy to flow through it. We bring our attention to the body's realm of feeling and sensation, which is full of communication and full of the enjoyment of being. By simply moving our attention in this way, we don't try and eradicate the ego or resist it. We don't enter into any complicated thought-based techniques to undo the ego's belief systems. We simply stop listening to its judgments, opinions, beliefs and fears, and thus they can no longer influence our experience of reality. Instead, we consciously choose to listen to the deeply vital needs of our body and of our heart, which is always communicating to us and telling us how we can enrich the world which we inhabit. It is easy to distinguish between the voice of the ego and the voice of the heart. Anything which is tinged with insecurity, which tells us we are threatened, anything which tells us that we are incomplete, anything which suggests that reality is in some way lacking, comes from the ego. Anything which divides up the world, judges the world and the people upon it in terms of good and bad, right and wrong, and thus creating a sense of division between us and them, also comes from the ego. The voice of the heart has a very different quality to that of the ego. The heart's voice really is the voice of sanity in our world, and we would realize this if we just trusted it enough to follow its guidance sometimes. Love never gets it wrong, because love is infinitely more aware and more intelligent than the small mind of the ego, and love is not afraid either. The heart is really a voice for the greater mind, which is not thought-based like the ego, but love-based. Therefore, if the greater mind could be said to think, it thinks love. And because the greater mind has a profound and incomprehensible overview of the whole of this reality, it guides us lovingly towards that which will fulfill our purpose upon this planet, while simultaneously healing all our inner wounds that resulted from trying to go it alone, with our ego in the driving seat, without the wisdom and love of the greater mind to guide us onward. So as we learn to trust our heart, and ignore all the endless doubts and fears provided by the ego, a new perspective of the world opens up to us. We see a living planet that we are very much connected to through our heart, and we start to realize that it is communicating to us all of the time, guiding us and helping us to follow the path of joy and happiness which has already been laid for us, a path completely free of threat, danger, and suffering. This is the reward for trusting our heart, for having the courage to ignore the fearful voice of the smaller mind. It is nothing less than the experience of heaven on earth, total security, total peace, and total harmony. We also come to realize that the greater mind has a desire. It has a will. You could call it the divine will, and it is very different, in fact almost opposite, to the will of the ego, the smaller mind, which essentially only wants to control reality. The will of the greater mind is to bring your consciousness home, back to the love which is its essence, so that there is no longer a sense of separation between you and it. It is the end of division, the healing of the separation in your consciousness. There is no longer any fear, any doubt, any darkness within your mind or your heart. They are full of higher consciousness, full of love, full of light. Being so, there is nothing that keeps you apart, as your essence is the same. The beloved parent is reunited with its wayward child, and total healing and restoration occur. A relationship of total trust and security is restored, and we become a living vessel of light, joy, and love. Our human nature transforms from being one of consumption to one of giving. As we work on behalf of the higher love which flows through us without restriction, we can then see that every human being is undergoing this process of restoration, this process of rebuilding a trusting relationship with their spiritual parent, the greater mind, and letting go of their deep fears, doubts, and insecurities. Seeing this, we can only want to help them with compassion in our heart, without judgment or criticism, no matter how far they have strayed from living in alignment with love. We must trust that the greater mind has this entire process in hand, because with trust comes peace. There is no weight upon our own shoulders. Our only duty is to keep our mind aligned with the loving and compassionate will of the greater mind, and follow our heart's guidance, rather than that of the fearful ego. But this is easy when we see that the ego's will is to isolate us and shut us off from the rest of the world in fear, whereas the divine will is to heal, restore, and reunite us, thus bringing us back into the arms of the loving global family, so to speak. It is a family of unconditional love and understanding, of total providence, protection, and divine security. It is everything our heart has ever wanted, and more. It is our destiny, and all we need to do is say yes to it.